I woke up a little cheeky today.
Yeah, you did. That marketing strategy is bonkers.
I woke up a little cheeky today. Let's start with the good stuff. A long time ago, I pitched a noodle place in Culver City that's in the Citizens Public Market, which is like basically a space where they made enough space to put three little mini restaurants. It's like a food court
right
in Culver City. And there's a place in there called Bang Bang Noodles, and they make fresh noodles. And then they,
I think you said this once.
Yeah,
right?
I did. And so I went
back.
Did you go back? I went back for the follow up because we were out there shopping for a couch. And as it turns out, it's delicious. It's so good, man. Get out to Bang Bang Noodles. And that's how.
Is it the only one?
Yeah, that's the only one. And they have the noodles.
What a great name.
They have the noodles in soups. I think they might call it that because they make them right in front of you and they slop these noodles around and kind of bang them on the table. Or it's just a cool name. I don't know. But anyway, they have.
It's
not
that far away.
They
from
have
us.
Dry should. Noodle dishes, which is just, it's not really dry. It's like noodles plus. You know, meat stuff on top, and then they have wet noodles, which are like in soup.
Okay, so I have a question.
And the soups are fine, but the dry noodles are where it's at.
Okay,
it's
so
not, dry sounds wrong. It's like it's definitely not dry, but it's no, just I, not. It's not. There's not like a scoop of liquid that goes in. You know,
a scoop of liquid.
It's like a scoop of.
Okay, so when you go down to your office
Szechuan,
in Santa Monica, do you like have lunch down there with them?
I definitely don't. I'm the only one in the office when I go, and there's no food places nearby, so we'd have to make kind of a run of it. And it feels weird to get up and walk by yourself like a long ways to go.
Okay,
so I usually don't even eat. I usually go there and I just go to the fridge and we have like the fridge stocked with like hummus and chips. And sometimes I'll just make myself, yesterday I made myself microwavable noodles, which was actually a good one. I'll have to find it. It's like this pho, it was great. But anyway, it's like not good.
Microwavable noodles?
No, it's like a quarter ramen.
Why don't you just tell me when you're going to be in Santa Monica and we'll just meet at Bing Bing Noodles?
Yeah.
And then I'll find a reason to be down there.
Yeah, no, you should. We should quote unquote look at real estate because it's great.
Well, Culver City is my area.
I have leftovers in the fridge that I'm going to eat today if I can get home before Max. that's always the risk when you have a teenager and you put leftovers in the fridge. It's like, can I get home before the kids?
Just tell me spit in it.
Yeah.
You licked it all.
And it's the, is it Szechuan? What's the one with the numbing spice?
Numbing spice?
Yeah.
Like it makes your mouth numb?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You've tasted it before.
Oh.
It's what Szechuan, is it Szechuan? I think it is. Anyway.
My wife has some weird eating habits sometimes.
My mouth is watering right now. Thinking of the noodles.
Speaking of leftovers. One day my wife wanted to, we really love those kettle chips that are like vinegar, you know, Randy's like having back issues right now.
I just kind of scooched the chair in. I think my back just went out.
Oh, dude, that's terrible.
I'm like, I'm going to not move for the next little bit.
You look like you're in pain. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Okay, so anyway, so she wanted to not have the calories of the, but she wanted to have the taste. And so she was licking them. And so there was like a pile of licked chips.
That's disgusting.
But I didn't know.
That's fantastic. But it's the kind of thing I would expect like a child to do. Oh, but you didn't know?
I didn't know. So I picked them up and I looked at them. I'm like, these are stale. She didn't say a thing. And I'm like, so I tried another one. And I'm like, yeah, these are stale, honey. You should toss these.
She didn't say a word. But was she watching you smiling and not saying a word?
Oh, yes, okay. She was cheeky about it. And then I went out, came back, and she was licking them and putting them in the pile. I'm like, wait, are those? And she just smiled.
Oh, crap. That's funny. So when I was a young father, I was stunned at how one of my sons, Lucas, could like how are you eating the popcorn? Like, because his popcorn was everywhere, like everywhere. And he was young, you know, so he's young enough. So it wasn't like he was a teenager, right? He was like young. But then I like peeked in once and he's watching TV. He grabbed a handful of popcorn so that it was overflowing.
Right.
Like,
and then trough it.
And he would push it against his face.
And chew.
And just chew his way through it while he was watching. So, like, popcorn's, like, falling out the sides. I'm like, what are you doing? This is not how you eat popcorn.
Tell me you got a video.
Oh, I wish I did. I did get a picture of another time. He was so bummed because he was, like, two. or no, he was three. But I went into the kitchen and I found him. Yeah, he'd still wear diapers at three, right? Because he was wearing a diaper. Yeah. So it was just him in a diaper on the countertop. He'd gotten raspberry jam, and jam was like down his bare belly.
Right.
And then he had his hand in like powdered sugar, and he was eating powdered sugar. And so he's covered in powdered sugar and jam in a diaper on the counter. And so he was like, oh no, his face was like, I'm in so much trouble. And so I'm like, I started laughing and took a camera out to take a picture of him. And he was so happy. He started smiling. He's like, I'm going to get away with it. I took the picture, which we have in a scrapbook, and then I put the camera away. I'm like, all right, now you're going to get spanked. And he's like, oh. he got both.
I love those parenting moments when you're like, this is so terrible. I just have to like take a moment. Yeah. And like, Liam did that when he was little. He was one of those kids that were like, he was hungry, so he'd start making mac and cheese, and he was like three. I'm like, what the heck, dude? He's trying to boil water. It was terrible because it was dangerous, right?
Yeah, of course. Boiling water,
so
geez.
One day we walk in, and I get Belinda had we had that Costco size of mayonnaise jar, and somehow he had gotten it open. I think we're not sure if he was going to make a sandwich or whatever, but his passy fell inside.
Uh huh.
And so the jar
this
was kind of
the first
like,
time I've heard it nicknamed that. Okay.
The jar is probably about half empty.
Yeah.
So, and it's on the counter. So he had found a way to climb up and precariously put himself on a chair or stool. And then he was going to use the mayonnaise, but his passy fell into the mayonnaise. And then he had to get it out.
Okay.
So he had to reach his arm in all the way up to his armpit. And he brings it out like triumphantly with mayonnaise all over everything.
Yeah.
And the passy, and he sticks it in his mouth, which gets it all over his face. And then, so we have a picture of him with covered from head to toe in mayonnaise because his
parenting
passy fell in. Parenting good days.
It was a good days. When my youngest, before he could talk, he could say like, you know, pacifier, which he called a bow for some reason.
A bow?
Okay. Yeah. And he could say squirrel and girl. And they sounded the same, Koto. anyway, one day he was kind of getting fussy, and I was frantically trying to find a pacifier.
Right.
I'm like, where is the pacifiers? And I'm like, where's your bow? He's like, is it a bow? And he realized what I was doing. I was asking him a question. He's like, oh, come with me. And I can't remember if he grabbed my hand or if he just waved me, but I think he might have grabbed my hand. He walked me over to this. He had this castle, like this four turret plastic castle that my brother had given us. So that's a hand-me-down toy with, you know, like it had like doors and drawers, whatever.
Yeah.
And
like the little people.
One of the towers of the castle had a trapdoor top, presumably for action figures or something like that. And then out of the trap door at the bottom, there was a little gate. So like you drop an action figure down and then you open the gate and pull them out, right? Yeah. So he goes over there and he points into the tower. I'm like, what? And I look in the tower and he has collected all of his pacifiers in the tower. They're all in there. And he opens the little gate and pulls one out. He's like, puts in his mouth. He's like, there's a pacifier. Hey, Bo. And he walks away. I'm like, well, we found all the pacifiers.
Where are they?
Yeah.
Well, I know exactly where they are.
I know exactly where they are. I keep a supply.
Do you remember like your first kid when their bow or passy would fall on the floor? And like you would freak out, you know. I'd have like four other like backups.
No, I never
had
that. No, I mean, if I did, I was cured of it very quickly. I think Rachel boiled stuff once, and I'm like, nope.
Yeah, we were never too much, or
occasionally as the desperate parent, like put it in your own mouth and clean it off and put it in their mouth.
That was like my second child. When you see it, the first child, it was we just carried extras, and then we would, you know, wash them off and. You know, soap and water wasn't a big deal, but by the third kid, man, my third kid, she ate dirt. We couldn't take her anywhere
for
days. No, I'm not kidding. We couldn't take her to the beach.
Wow,
because she would eat so much sand that she would poop sand for like several days.
That's wild.
It was terrible. Yeah, so we wouldn't take her. And then my wife, you know, oleanders, they're real popular in California, right? They're poisonous. You know that,
right? Oh, yeah, they're poisonous.
So
they're great for making bows and arrows, by the way, if you're a little kid. Oh, just FYI.
I hadn't thought about that.
They're really flexible, and they have this gooey middle where you can take out and put a nail in for arrows.
Oh, yeah. That is good. We should try something like that. Yeah. See what happens. So my wife, we had a bunch of it in our backyard, and this daughter, she just ate rocks and dirt and sand. And so my wife's like, you got to go and dig out all these oleanders.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. She's going to eat one of those things.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, and she goes, no, we had a lot of them. Like, it was one of those projects that lasted several weeks because all day, every day.
No, those oleanders are kind of half bushes.
It's like half bush, half tree.
Yeah, so, and they don't come out easy because they grow like weeds.
It was terrible. So, yeah, those oleanders.
A known thing where, like, you have to be careful where you graze your cows because if they eat those things, then they get, like, massive stomach problems and they could die.
I watched a murder mystery one time. The way they killed it was they made oleander tea. They killed the person that way.
I can imagine that.
Anyway, okay, that's definitely not what we wanted to talk about today.
Well,
oleanders, passies, mayonnaise, and powdered sugar.
I have a fun one for you. We haven't done a fun one in a long time.
I like it.
Okay, here's the fun one. Do you have a handful in your mind or your heart, a handful of movies that you know are great that are not well known? Like, what's one like, man, not a lot of people.
A River
like
Runs
this.
Through It.
All right.
Have you watched that?
Make your pitch, yeah.
Oh, it's great.
What do you love about it?
I don't.
I think I think that's an interesting movie, but I'd like to know why you think it's an interesting movie.
It's heavy. It's a heavy movie.
Okay.
Another one, by the way, is A Legend. I wanted to get it out before I forget it. Legend of Bagger Vance.
Oh, interesting.
So the lead in A River Runs Through It is Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
I actually gained a tremendous amount of respect for him in that movie because it's a serious acting movie.
Yeah.
I don't know why I liked it so much. It would just hit at a time in my life where I was kind of like maybe introspective and I don't want to say melancholy, but just kind of like it was just a very deep movie.
What would you say that movie is about?
You know, I was afraid you were going to ask me that.
Oh, it's all right. I've seen it. Well, I can say what I think it's about.
Fly fishing. I mean, that's kind of what.
Yeah.
That's what.
It's a biography about a religious family whose two sons are growing up civilized in a wild place, and the one thing that can unite their family that has a hard time communicating in this time of stoicism. Is they fly fish together.
Yeah.
And there's one son who chooses a wild child life and one son who chooses to be what dad always wanted.
Right.
And in the middle there's these and the ups and downs of their life, which are many because their wild child son is difficult. It's punctuated with these moments where they can just come together and fly fish on this river. The photography is beautiful, the acting is subtle. The narration, the writing is good because it's drawn from this book, which is good. But I wouldn't necessarily say it's not really a plot-driven show. It's a character study of it's an interesting timepiece, like for the historical nature of it, and great acting. And if you ever had a family where you can see things aren't going to go. The way you want, but you still love each other. That's kind of the story of this place, right. of this thing. It's beautiful.
So that would be one. The other one is Legend of Bagger Vance. Have you read that?
Now that's a little more mainstream pop.
Really? I didn't think it hit.
Oh, it didn't hit, but it's got Matt Damon and Will Smith, so it's not like it's
Yeah, but it was done back in a corner before either one of them were like humongous.
No, Will Smith was. This is on the downslope for Will Smith. I think.
No, it was on the upslope.
I think
way before the
I think this is Will Smith trying to get an Academy Award after he. I bet that was after Men in Black.
Really, I think it was before that, but
maybe it was. I don't know. Yeah. So what do you like about Bagger Vance?
I don't know. Same kind of thing. It was just kind of like one of those melancholy, fun, interesting period pieces with the. I guess they're both the similar in the fact that they're character driven. They're not plot driven.
Right? Okay.
It's the arc of a character.
Yeah.
I think that's the kind of movies I go towards. I go towards the arc of a character.
Right.
And I like to see how they change, how they grow, how they deal, and that's Matt Damon's character is basically a PTSD, vet. Was it Civil War?
No, it would be post Civil War. Because there were, I think, I think World War One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't. I really, one of those. But you asked for obscure. To me, that's a little obscure. It's not like something someone would.
All right. So I've thought of three that I'm going to share, and they're pretty obscure. Like, I bet you haven't heard of any of them.
Well, you're much more.
No, but I watched one last night. That's why, and I'm cheerful about it because I, you know, you watch one of these old movies that you loved when you were young, and you're like, I don't know if it's going to hold up. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it held up as a romantic adventure. It's a romance and an adventure.
Okay.
So it's Tom Selleck's best movie. Tom Selleck's best movie. Now you're like, he's more of a TV guy.
Say,
and I'm like, he's more of a TV guy, but you know, he had a few movies.
Okay.
He had you know, the Quigley Down Under and Innocent Man and. He had Runaway, which is actually an underrated movie. Probably. Hurt by its bad soundtrack. Anyway, Tom Selleck's best movie. It is The High Road to China.
I have heard it.
Yeah, man.
I don't know that.
It's weird because it's not anywhere. I've never seen it on any of the streamers. I almost forgot that it existed, but then I remembered that it existed and how much I liked it. And I'm like, I wonder if it's going to hold up. And I'm like, I think it is going to hold up. And I'm going to take a risk and make Rachel watch it with me. Now, the risk is this. Sometimes the old stuff that I love doesn't really hold up. And Rachel will watch it with me patiently and sweetly and then tease me about it later. But this one is actually good. And it holds up. The High Road to China. Now, it does play old. When you're saying plays old, I mean, like, you know, like I bought it on Amazon, and I don't know, the film to digital conversion it's not crisp.
Not great.
It's not crisp. It came out in 1984. So like, you know, like, and there's some goofy tropes that they don't do anymore. There's a couple things now, like in this day and age, that would be considered
canceled.
They get canceled because they land in Afghanistan and then they land in like different places on the way to China.
Right.
And on airplanes. Anyway, but it was a great show. No, what makes it great? No, it's good just because it's kind of good. It's like, it's well written and well produced. But what makes it great is the chemistry between the lead girl and Tom Selleck. And Tom Selleck's comedic performance is actually outstanding. I don't mean he's like telling jokes.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's tiny. Like, he gets frustrated a couple of times and goes on these rants. Like screaming, like yelling rants, yelling at this girl. And it's so funny because he does exasperation about as good as anybody, and he does comedic exasperation great. And if the ladies out there listening are looking for a reason to watch it, it's Tom Selleck in his beefcake prime, like tall, handsome, heroic.
Beefcake prime.
I mean, he's looking good. So anyway.
So you're saying this is definitely above Quigley Down Under.
I feel like you're making fun of Quigley Down Under. That's actually a watchable movie.
It is a watchable movie.
But no, I'm saying, it's a good movie. It's better. It's good.
You know, other movie he made that was actually a lot of fun and great. It's actually good.
Now, this is a good movie. I want to be clear. This is not high art. This is a good romantic adventure. I'm not saying this is high art, but I am saying that there's moments that are beautiful and that the chemistry between the two leads is terrific.
I'm trying to find what year it was. Man, he's been a lot of stuff, hasn't he?
Who's that? Tom?
Tom Selleck.
Oh, it was 1984.
Oh, it's that far back?
Yeah.
Oh, no wonder I can't find it.
Like, yeah, you have to click more and scroll down.
Gotcha. Okay. I got another one.
Beautiful score.
Wait, no, you have another one. Go for it.
Beautiful score. I have three, but look, this is a shared podcast. Your name's on the masthead.
The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Which one?
There's only one.
Okay, so you're not talking about the TV show.
Oh, it was a TV show?
That was a remake of a TV show.
Oh, I didn't know that. I saw the movie.
It's terrific.
It's terrific.
You're talking about the one that a few years ago with Henry Cavill and the dude that got
2015,
canceled.
2015, yeah.
So good.
It was really good.
That's a really good movie. It's funny.
And I didn't understand why it didn't hit. And I didn't understand. I want a sequel really bad.
Yeah.
It was very, very good. It was one of those ones that didn't hit in the box office, so they didn't make another one. But man, is it good.
So, funny story about that. My kids and I have recently taken to that director.
Who is it? Oh, is that weird dude?
Who recently released a show on Netflix, The Gentleman.
Oh, interesting. Oh, that's married to Madonna for a
while.
Was
married to Madonna for a while.
Interesting.
My kids and I have recently taken to that director and concluded that we like his stuff. It's big and bold and brash, and we like it. Yeah, he also did Sherlock Holmes with what's his
face? Wait, who is it?
Guy Ritchie.
Guy Ritchie, that's his name. Gosh, I'm like literally talking about that this morning with somebody else.
Guy Ritchie is the director of The Man from U.N.C.L.E., and he's fun. I don't know, it's fun and
it's a great movie.
Yeah,
I do like Guy Ritchie's stuff. I mean, because it seemed to have, there's a lightheartedness with a British comedic twist to almost everything he does.
Yeah,
which I really appreciate.
Which is like the subtlety and the
Because that the Gentleman Show is an interesting one. Is it doing well? Do you know?
I don't know. I haven't heard a lot of scuttlebutt about it. But I.
The Man from U.N.C.L.E., though. That
all right,
was good.
So okay. Man from U.N.C.L.E. was good. Okay, great. All right, now I have another one. This one I do consider artistic, but I also, this goes into my category of beefs where comedy is never considered for awards, and it should. It should be when it's great. This one came into my life in a weird way. The show was playing on HBO when I was in high school, and a friend of my sister's was videotaping movies from HBO to watch later,
right?
And brought it to my sister's like young adult church party,
right?
And it was like, I don't think you guys. He didn't have the guts to make everyone watch this movie because it's kind of a thinky movie,
right?
But there's a couple of funny moments, and he made us watch the funny scenes. And I'm like, hey, will you leave that? I want to watch that the whole movie. And then it became my favorite movie, and it's still on my top movies of all time. It is Kevin Costner's best acting performance, period.
Okay.
And it's called Fandango.
I have not seen it.
No one's seen it. I'm telling you, this is a super...
All I think of it is the movie thing.
This is a super unseen movie, and it's an excellent movie, and it deserves
Fandango.
Love, and it deserves praise. And my wife watched it the other day because I bought it. So every once in a while, when a movie's super obscure, I won't just rent it. I'll buy it because I'm worried that it's going to disappear someday. So I want to own it. And so I bought Fandango. Because I wanted my sons to see it before they move out of the house.
Right.
and it's a movie about a bunch of goof-off kids who are graduating from college who are about to go their separate ways, and they go on one last fandango, which is a Spanish dance. And that's the phrase that they call it when they go on like a road trip and go party, right?
Okay.
So so Kevin Costner and Judd Nelson and a couple other actors one of whom's unconscious the whole time because the movie starts with a drinking binge and this guy's passed out drunk for like 5 days and they just carry him around everywhere they go.
It's like Weekend at Bernie's or whatever.
Anyway, they go on a last road trip, but it's a coming of age story. So some of them are ready to grow up and are kind of bummed to be on a road trip with a bunch of drunk guys.
Right.
And some of them are dying to hold on to their youth. Kevin Costner in his best acting performance ever. Trying to hold on to their youth and trying to get people to still act like nothing's changed. And so it's beautiful. Dude, it's beautiful.
Kevin Costner is one of those actors that plays the same. Him and Denzel Washington, they're really good at what they do.
Yeah.
But it's almost like that's what they do.
Well, like this movie was born for Kevin Costner. It might have been. So I found out more about the movie because I became a fanboy of it. It's directed by Kevin Reynolds. Kevin Reynolds was a USC film student. And the funniest scene in the movie, which I'll let you watch because it's awesome, the funniest scene in the movie was actually a short film that he did while he was at USC Film School for USC Film School. And he used the short film to raise money to make the feature, which he did. So he went on to direct a few films. He directed the Kevin Costner, not Sherlock Holmes, Robin Hood. That was Kevin Reynolds.
Oh.
Anyway.
Interesting.
That's an excellent movie.
Fandango.
That's an excellent movie.
That is pretty
And
obscure.
I just defy it. Everyone's 1984 like...
1984 again, I think.
That's another 1984.
85,
baby. We're getting there.
It's pretty like that.
Okay, do you have any more for us?
Okay, so I have two.
Okay.
One that ruined airports for me for the rest of my life, which was called Big Trouble.
Okay.
There's a scene in there. Have you seen it?
Is this...
It's got Tim Allen in it.
Oh,
it's hilarious.
This movie is written by Dave Barry, the newspaper humorist.
I didn't know that.
And it,
but
and it has a really weird vibe because
it's super weird.
It has a really weird vibe because as a newspaper, he's not a screenwriter first. And so it has a bunch of really funny stuff that other people wouldn't have put in a movie.
It was so funny. There's one,
but it was a really, it's
scene,
a really obscure movie.
Yeah, there's one scene where these they're supposed to be like hardcore gangsters, but they're like goofy, right? But they're going to pick something up at the airport, and they're like, "Are we arriving or are we departing?" Because in a way, we're arriving then departing. I'm like, that movie, and I'm not kidding you. That one scene,
because we're
kind
of arriving here to depart.
That whole bit ruins airports forever. You always will think about it as you're going back to the airport. Am I arriving? Am I? I mean, in some ways, I'm arriving.
That was a funny movie. It was a weird movie, but it was funny. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed that movie. I'd forgotten about it. Thanks for reminding me.
That was a fun one too. That was a fun one. My last one is is also a little bit of a weird one. Bandits. With Bruce Willis and Billy Bob.
Oh, no, that's a great movie. That's a great movie.
By the way, something you have to know about me. I actually don't like comedies.
Oh, that's a quotable. We still quote that movie. Yeah. You smell burning feathers?
All the time. it's one of those it's one of those movies that I laughed out loud. Oh, actually,
no, it's funny, man. That's
a funny
movie.
That I'm actually thinking I'm going to I guess
that's the actress in that show. That's her best movie, and she's gone on to win Academy Awards.
Yeah, she's great in that.
And she's amazing in that movie. Cate
Blanchett, is it?
Blanchett. Cate Blanchett plays a comedian, plays a comedic drama role in this show, and she's amazing.
Oh, well, I mean,
so whenever Rachel's gone, I like text her like, "The house misses you."
Funny stuff. What's the other one? Oh, one of my classics.
So wait, just to be clear, Bandits stars Bruce Willis
and
Billy Bob Thornton as people who break out of jail and go on a bank robbery spree.
Yeah, but everybody loves them.
But they're gentle. They're polite.
Yeah,
and it all culminates in a big heist shootout, and it's just a lot of
the
fun.
Movie actually starts in the end.
Another thing that I quote all the time, and Rachel just knows what I'm saying. Pink. Pink.
This responds to my memory. There's another one. Have you ever watched The Mad Men Mad World?
No. Not,
okay,
not.
That's a classic. First of all, it's forever. It's a very long movie, but they remade it, and I can't remember what the remake was.
Oh, yeah. No, I watched the remake.
The remake had who's that? Mr. Bean in it?
Yeah, yeah. And the remake came out of Las Vegas.
Yeah. Oh, dude. That's Pee Your Pants funny.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. That's a pretty funny show.
It was
a
really funny show.
All right. My last one is so I've done so far I've done Romantic Adventure with Tom Selleck, High Road to China.
Right.
And then I've done comedic coming of age story, so kind of a dramedy with Fandango. Now I'm going into pure drama.
Pure drama.
Pure drama. But and I got to warn you, like, this one takes me like I don't like to watch excruciating movies, right? Like this one takes me into the depths of like discomfort. Now, it probably wouldn't take you there, but it took me there because this is a movie called In America, and it's about a successful play director in Europe emigrates to New York City with his small family to try and make it as a director in New York City. And the reason this movie hits me is like I've made a few professional decisions that kind of kept me out of boring stuff and kept
It's called what again? Going to America?
In America.
In America. Okay.
And I've made a few decisions that were kind of, you know, I worked in movies and I work in video games now, and there are times when I've stuck my neck way out to do it and put my family in jeopardy, and it's terrifying to do it.
Right.
And so to see this guy struggle in New York City with his family to try and make it as a director, it's like, oh. But you never see him actually direct. It's just, you know that he's a director, but the movie's about a family struggling in New York City. They could be theoretically doing anything, but it hit me harder because they weren't doing anything. They were doing the arts. Anyway, but here's what you should know, because you're like, why would I ever watch something excruciating? Because it is the most uplifting ending ever.
I love
when it
that.
Was over, I was sobbing, not because I was sad. I was sobbing because I was so uplifted and just so moved. I was just like, people can be good. People in New York City, in the worst part of New York City, can still be good.
That's awesome.
Oh, man.
I love that.
It's a beautiful movie. And no one has seen this movie. No one. And you should see it. It's the acting performances are amazing. The writing is great. And the theme is ultimately quite uplifting.
I love it.
In America.
Done. Going to watch it.
I can't get my kids to watch that one. I can't get Rachel to watch that one. I think it's for the same reason. She can't get all the way through it. She's like, I don't want to watch people struggle. Because I think maybe we've been out of the struggle far enough now that maybe she can enjoy it now. I don't know.
Say that yet.
It's really uplifting.
Speaking of which, my son watched Dune 1, and then he wanted to watch Dune 2 really bad. He really got into it. And
okay.
I said, dude, it's a three-hour movie. And he goes, a three-hour movie?
Yeah.
And he goes, how can it be a three-hour movie? I'm like, it just is. And he goes, okay, well, let's go. And so I took him to the movies.
You went again?
I went and watched it again.
Okay, second time.
Okay, so I would watch it a third time. If I could find it in IMAX, I'd go watch it a third time.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's that good. It's really
good.
It's
a really terrifically done movie.
I mean, it's a masterpiece. It really is.
It really
is. And the fact that he followed...
I think it's going to win everything.
Dude, I think it's better than the first one. I think that's hard to do.
I mean, most people agree with you. I didn't. I still don't, but... But it's very good. But everyone else does. So
the first one, the plot moved faster. This one is pretty awesome. But anyway, we went and I came away with a weird conclusion, and not about the movie. It cost $17.50 for a ticket. I didn't realize that. For some reason, I thought it was still $13 in my head.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is not good. This is not good. So I went to the Regal up here, the big one, and it's the seats, the place is run down. Everything's overpriced. It actually made me sad for movies. I don't think movies will ever go away, but I definitely think that the large movie theater, I think we're going to go back to the old days where we had movie theaters were like maybe one or two in a theater, because it's just not. The value proposition is not there anymore.
Have you been to the Lemley?
I haven't. They didn't have Dune there.
I go to the Lemley. That's where we go. And you'll be... And the Lemley, I think, is the future of cinema.
Okay, I'll go try it. I mean, I keep thinking of
going
to try it.
They have six screens, and you're like, well, that's still big. I'm like, no. Their biggest screen has 150 seats, and their smallest screen has like 30 seats.
Yeah.
And it has a big screen. When I say big screen, though, it's like, 16 feet, 20 feet. Like, it's not like a 200-foot screen. And I think that's the future of cinema. It's a lot more modest.
Well, okay, so I'm going to say that may be the future of town cinema. But I do think there's something to be said for it. Have you seen any of the stuff on the inside of that weird sphere thing in Vegas?
Yeah.
It's a 180. It's a 180 degree
viewing
screen.
Cool.
And I think we're going to see that kind of immersive stuff. So you're going to have two kinds of things. You probably have the Lemley type thing. I don't think that, AMC tried that. Hey, we'll bring lunch to you at your seat. I've done that. Strangely uncomfortable. Don't like it.
I don't know if you can do that as a bolt-on. I think you can do that as a primary. Because there are theaters that are killing it that do that as their primary value proposition. And I think the people that are built around it do it pretty well, and the people that aren't don't. I don't know.
Which one's built around it? I haven't been to them.
So Alamo Drafthouse is the one.
Oh, but that's not here, right? I think we talked
about
that.
It is. There's one in L.A. And honestly, you and I need to go.
Because
I've heard it's amazing. And every time I want to go, I'm like, it's downtown L.A. It's going to take me an hour to get there.
It's downtown L.A.?
Yeah.
Oh.
Alamo Drafthouse. They're the ones that built around it. But then there's another movie theater chain. I say chain. I think there's two or three locations in L.A. that's also built around it that I haven't gone to. And I have to look it up because it has a weird name. It's like a forgettable name.
Well, I'm interested to see the future because I definitely think...
Now I'm going to go to Maps and look it up because my boss is telling me it's his favorite place to watch movies.
Alamo Drafthouse?
No, this other place. Let me go see Santa Monica. Search nearby. Type in movie theater movies. What's it called? IPIC, I think is what it's called. IPIC.
IPIC.
Upscale cinema chain with plush seating, gourmet light bites, and cocktails plus in-theater service.
Oh, it's on Wilshire.
There's one on Wilshire, and then there's I think there's one in Pasadena as well. IPIC theaters see locations in L.A.
Did this one, the IPIC theaters in L.A. is that
yeah,
behind
there's one
the,
in
that's
one in Pasadena
the temple over there. It's behind the L.A. temple.
Well, I've never been to either one of them, but I think that
does he like it because of the cocktails? Oh, look, they have fancy food though. Look at this, they have like quinoa,
light bites. What do you think they mean when they say light bites in L.A.? Like, yeah, we will wrap that in kale for you.
$30 sliders that are vegan. That's what they mean. Okay.
Anyway, so I'm not interested in IPIC because I want to go to the source, and the source is Alamo Drafthouse. We should get out there. Right. I have friends in
Sunset
Texas
Street.
Who are like Alamo Drafthouse for life. They're like they love it, and I got another friend who's into cinema. Who every time he goes to Texas, he's like, I got to go to Alamo Drafthouse.
See, I just think they have to step it up because the value proposition, a $17.50, right? And I took my son. That's an expensive evening.
Yeah, well, Alamo Drafthouse has a really interesting business model because they build cinemas around the idea. It's basically cinema for single adults is what it is, because there's a bar, and you can go and hang out at the bar. Right.
Okay.
And then you can go to the movies and order in there, and they bring stuff to you during the movie. But then this is crucial. The other part of their business plan is that they don't just rely on first run movies. They do all these events year round. It's like, oh,
yeah.
it's Elf
yeah.
time of year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for Christmas, they play Elf, and then they have a special adults only screening of Elf where they serve these, super alcohol, like fruit smoothie deals. Like, I mean, it's like, anyway, it's like peppermint smoothie with schnapps in it or something like that. And I was like, and then they just love it. And anyway, my point is,
spiked eggnog.
I, when I watch their promo stuff, the vibe I get is kind of dive bar-y. So I'm not super into the Alamo Drafthouse, vibe, but I'm super into their, commitment to being like, no, man, people get together. People get together for fun. Community matters. Like, events matter. Like, I think that's really good. I think that's smart. I think that's the future.
I think so, too, because the Regal and the AMCs, I don't see how they're going to make it. There's just not enough good stuff out there to...
Yeah, I think the movie started to pick up again, but tragically, the strike happened right in the middle of it getting momentum again. So, I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, I would go see a dude.
Do you have any more fun movies?
Tommy Boy.
Yeah, that was just on the other day, and
that's
a classic. And I watched it. It was fun.
That's one of there's other. I mean, obviously, you know, there's cult movies like Monty Python. I find that to be hilarious.
Yeah.
Or Zoolander. Do you ever watch? That is not something you should watch. But you should
watch. I don't enjoy Zoolander the whole movie, but...
You can't do the whole movie, but there's some quotable
things
in there. Hilarious.
The scenes are outstanding. Yeah.
It's really funny. The scenes are hilarious on their own, but when you put it together in a movie, it's kind of an uncomfortable, boring thing.
Yeah,
but if you dissect the movie, it's hilarious.
Yeah, and that's kind of like the Napoleon Dynamite phenomenon. Like, it's hard. Napoleon Dynamite is pretty boring, but scene by scene... It's all glorious. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the difference between I actually thought Napoleon Dynamite had some cinematic scenes in it that were pretty classic too.
Yeah.
But not Zoolander. Zoolander's like just stupid.
Is this a building for ants?
It's got to be at least 3 times bigger.
But great old movies. All right. So we've talked about Bang Bang Noodles. Yummy. We've talked about great old movies.
What is Kubo Carson? What is that?
Well, we can go to politics if you want.
Oh.
Where's Theory of Snacks? I can do a rant. Do you have any content you want to bring forward? Because I got a whole list today, and I feel like I've dominated the last couple pods.
Yeah, but you're just smarter than I am, so you come up with better stuff.
No. Okay, so, all right, I'm gonna talk.
You can get me on a rant. Can we talk about Israel for a second?
No, no, we can't. But I have a 1 minute rant on snacks.
Okay. Only one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there's really, I'm gonna time honestly, you. I don't even think that my take is that disputable. That's why it's only 1 minute.
That's just a challenge.
When you work for fancy tech companies / fancy game companies,
yes,
there is a culture of we have to provide exorbitant snacks for you because that's what the Bay Area used to do.
Right.
And so at my work, we have incredible snacks. Okay.
Okay.
Now, when I say incredible, .. I mean expensive and exotic.
Got it.
Okay. But I don't know whose idea it was, and I'm not happy about it. Everything in there is some sort of alt healthy version of something you might want. Like, do you want a Dr. Pepper? Yeah. How about this really weird Whole Foods fake Dr. Pepper that only has 10 grams of sugar? And
what's that called? I just heard about this.
It's just hot garbage, dude. Don't do it. So we have this building full of snacks, and I'm a snacker, and just almost none of it's good. Almost none of it. I have found that they had the sweetened mango slices. So that's good. So I get one of those every time I go, and I get the and I have these low calorie, barely sweet, Mounds chocolate, natural chocolates. Ugh. You know what I mean? So there's like coconut goo and covered in chocolate. And then it's just all this, you know, baked chips and super weird air fluffed popcorn crap. And it's just all bad, man. Just
like, but is that like a reflection of the owner, or is that a reflection?
Have you
talked to him about it?
I don't know. Because you don't want to say like, hey, you remember that check you signed last month for $10,000 of snacks? Yeah. It was all wasted because this is all garbage. But, you know, they have, like, every kind of tea concoction under the sun.
You should start looking at the dates.
They have $4 bottle of water. Like, you know, the crazy, like, the pH water and all this stuff. And I'm like, all of it is snake oil. None of it's good. And I just want you just, can you just put
snake oil?
Snake oil. I just want there to be, just kidding, where's the Coca-Cola? I can't find a Coca-Cola.
Here's my rant about snacks. Okay, so we play baseball.
Was that a minute? It was 3 minutes.
We play baseball. My kids play baseball.
Yeah, you do.
We used to play soccer. Uh-huh. And in soccer, there every week for the game, some parent is assigned to bring a snack. And that was like when we played soccer, that was already a thing.
Orange slices.
Right.
Done.
Right. So, well, you would hope.
That's,
but then
that,
people
when
like
we were kids, it was, okay. If someone brought sliced oranges, we're like, heck yeah. We do that thing where you shove it the quarter slice in your mouth
and you smile.
And then you smile with the big orange smile.
And everybody smiles together and you get a picture.
That was the whole thing I liked about soccer when I was
a kid.
You
cannot do that now.
No.
No. That would be like, you would be
frowned
upon.
Are you poor?
No, it wouldn't be that. It's like, why can't we just have a whole orange? I mean, that's
the
way they
look at
it.
Okay.
So then we moved over to baseball, and when Liam decided he wanted to play baseball, we're like, we don't know anything about baseball, so we just started going, you know, there's a league up here, we started playing at that league.
Yeah.
Our favorite part about baseball was no snacks, okay?
Oh, great.
So Liam did, what, I don't know, 5-6 years at that place, no snacks.
Yep.
We're now back with the next kid doing it. Guess what's back? Or guess what? Somehow creeped its way in.
Snacks.
But there's not just little snacks. It's like a snack bag.
Oh,
right? We had
one time,
and I'm not kidding, the snack was a cheeseburger, a fry, and a milkshake for every kid from In-N-Out.
That's crazy.
I mean,
that's not a snack. That's a meal. By any standard, that's not a snack.
Dude, people were bringing 14 pizzas.
Okay, but here's what's funny.
Or a bag full of stuff. Like, you have to, in the bag has an orange, it has, you know, four kinds of openable snacks and a drink. And I'm like,
Four kinds of openable snacks and a drink.
Okay, so I'm ignoring the list, right? I saw the list come out, and I'm like, I'm just going to not pay attention to that date. And when it comes and goes and nobody gets a snack, I'm okay.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I'm at practice, da da da. And so this mom comes over and she goes, Mr. Everett, I'm like, hey, how are you? She goes, so did you get my message? I'm like, oh no, I didn't get the message. What's the message? Oh, you have snacks tomorrow. And I'm like, my wife's at home in bed sick.
Okay.
Right. And I'm like, I just cussed under my head. In my head, I'm like, oh, freaking snacks, dude. It's just so stupid.
Yeah, because like the kids aren't unfed. This is not a civic program. So I'm going to tell
terrible
you two life
snacks.
Hacks. One piece of commentary and one piece of life hack. So you're getting part of the problem, but you're only getting half the problem. You're like, how could it be, Randy? I just told you there was a full meal.
Yeah.
Here's the other half. Same thing in the Bay Area, but if you bring pizza, you're trying to murder their kids with processed foods. Like they would do the same thing, but with like there was a couple times when they brought snacks where we're like, this is hundreds of dollars. Do you know what I mean? Okay, so here's the life hack that Rachel did, like to not go crazy.
Chocolate covered tofu.
She does two things. She signs up first. It's like, what's the first day? I want that day.
Oh, that's
so that way you don't have to get furious every time someone brings a one-upmanship snack.
Yeah.
You're first, you bring crab snacks, and everyone forgets about it by the end of the season. and you've given permission to other parents to bring crab snacks.
Nice.
So it's like, boom, yep, here's Yogos. Good luck, guys. You know what I mean? So those are the two life hacks. Sign up first, though. Don't let it loom.
Sign up first, bring a crappy snack, then they never ask you again.
That's right.
There's a theory about that. I had a friend that used to change the diaper for his kids really poorly. Always lose. He says, if you just leave a little bit of poop in there, your wife will never ask you to do it again. You know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, okay. So actually, snack that tastes good that I found because I was getting snacks.
Yeah.
There's this new called Crunchy Pop-Tart Bites.
That sounds amazing.
They're actually really...
So
I like Pop-Tarts.
Our whole family, when I say our whole family, not as much me as everyone else, but Rachel eats... To her, food is snacks, and our kids eat snacks as meals.
Right.
Like, and so every kind of bites, if those things that you just described came in a plastic cup where you take the lid off and peel the foil back...
No, it's in a bag.
No, if it came in a plastic cup... They would be in our. They'd be Rachel. That's all
stacked.
Rachel. That's all Rachel would eat.
Yeah.
That's it. That's
They're
all
really good.
That sounds good.
And I don't. I mean, you know me. I do eat kind of healthy, but that one I tasted one. I'm like, dang, that's good.
No, my family loves candy and snacks. They just love it.
The only problem with snacks for me is, you start getting on a snack. Like I'm kind of a popcorn snob. I love popcorn.
Describe what an ideal popcorn is to you.
Okay, so I. It's Orville.
I too, I'm a snob.
Okay, it's Orville Redenbacher.
Okay.
How we cook it, is we have a twirly pop. That's what it's called.
Okay.
It's just on the stove, no oil.
Okay.
You just put it on the stove, and then it has this thing. Once it starts popping, there's this little handle on the side. There's like a crank. Like, you know,
And the popcorn comes out the little.
No, you crank it. And have you ever, you remember the pop-up thing where you do the crank and it goes da, 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 and then the monkey comes out of the okay, so it's like that. So you do that until you hear it stop popping, and then you dump it in the thing, and then you add real butter.
How much? No, never mind. You melt real butter and put it on there.
Melt real butter.
Okay, keep going.
And put it on, and then it's pretty heavily salted for me because I love salt.
Okay, we're aligned.
But
we enjoy the same kind of popcorn.
It's got to be kosher salt. It can't be regular table salt because kosher salt has a flatter edge and it's more surface area. And you're like, I'm not kidding.
Look, you've told me that you make good hamburgers, and you did.
Yeah.
You told me that you make good eggs Benedict, and you did. If you're telling me that this salt makes a difference, I'm gonna extend you this trust, but I have to warn you, like.
Kosher
you're
salt.
Spending it. You're spending the trust that you've accrued on kosher salt. Do you want to?
Yes.
Okay. He's holding the line, ladies and gentlemen.
Because I like salt, and like the regular salt, right? The iodized salt that you get at the it's a heavier kernel, and more of it gets onto the bottom of your thing. You know, you eat your bucket, and there's a bunch of salt on the bottom. Dude, it's a lighter flake with more surface area, so it lays upon your butter better.
All right, so we agree on the popcorn. I should say, I do microwave popcorn, but I go and I get a tablespoon of butter and melt it and I mix it in, and every time I do it, like Rachel's like, man, this popcorn is really good for some reason. I'm just like, yeah.
So
weird.
you take microwave buttered popcorn and add extra butter?
Yeah.
So what I don't like about microwave popcorn.
You pour half of it in, and you pour half the butter, and then you pour the other half of the popcorn in it and pour the butter, and then you stir the whole thing, and you get like well surface area.
Okay, so do you have a stirring? Do you have a stirring like hack?
It's a little bit difficult to stir without it spilling everywhere.
Here's a stirring hack.
Okay.
Ready?
Right now, I'm like, are we winning fans or are we losing fans?
You get a paper bag from the grocery store that you know, that it's clean or whatever. You make sure there's nothing gooky in it, and then you dump your unbuttered popcorn or whatever in it.
Okay.
And then take the butter, and as you're shaking the bag, you put the butter in and it gets evenly dispersed.
Do you
don't get like a soaked piece.
But do you eat out of the bag?
You can if you want to, but I usually put it, I'll put it in a bucket.
Bag, you got a whole process going on over there.
Oh, no.
It's mechanized.
Like I told you, I'm like a popcorn snob.
Popcorn snob it is.
I do not like popcorn, theater popcorn, actually. I love popcorn, and I'll eat it at the theater, but I usually feel pretty sick afterwards.
Yeah.
Not pukey sick, just like, that didn't taste good.
I can't, yeah.
Well, snacks. We went long on snacks. That's a lot longer than I thought.
We did.
Yeah. Can we talk about Israel?
I mean,
you're ignoring me.
What? Okay, let me ask you this before I give you permission to say whatever you want on your own podcast. Let me ask you this. What are you going to add? Are you going to add to the conversation, or do you just need to blow off steam?
Actually, it's just kind of more questions. Like, I'm very curious, why is, first of all, it looks like this Iran attack, okay, it's in retaliation for something Israel did.
Yeah.
They killed.
Which is pretty strident.
Okay.
Killing the guys on the strident part. Blowing up someone's embassy is the strident part.
Okay. So bad. Whatever. So they're going to come after you. Israel is going to expect that.
Yeah.
It looks like the United States gave Iran the green light.
They're
like, you can do it. It's okay. It's a retaliation. And then what they did with Israel. Like,
what makes you say that?
It kind of looks like they just.
Because the U.S. was there. The U.S. was there shutting crap down.
Yeah. So it was kind of like.
Shooting crap down is what
right.
I would say.
It was a face. It was to give Iran face.
Well, the U.S. is explicitly denying that. And I don't trust our current regime, but I don't know, man.
It seems like even without them, with them denying it, like just the surface, and this is not a right wing left wing thing. This is just my observation. Well,
reportedly that happened under Trump. Reportedly under Trump, after we killed Suleiman, whatever his name is, reportedly they said we have to do an attack, but we're going to send just a few missiles to these bases. Get your troops out of there so no one gets hurt. Reportedly,
Iran said that.
Yeah, and they did. They launched like 6 missiles at bases and no one got killed.
Well,
so reported, I mean, they reported that was a coordinated face saver.
So I think this sounds like this might be a coordinated face saver.
But they launched 350 missiles at the same time as they launched drones.
They stopped 99% of them.
I know, but if they didn't stop any of them, would a bunch of people have died?
A bunch of them failed, right? Like military things that are happening right now.
I've been avoiding reading up on it because I'm so mad about it. But go ahead. What else you want to add?
Well, the other.
So is that a question?
My question is, what does Israel do?
Did America?
No, it's not that. I mean, I think they did, so I don't really care if.
Dude, if I was Israel.
What do you think they're going to do?
Well, I don't know what they're. I think they're going to bomb the crap out of Iran, including their nuclear facilities.
I don't think they are. I think they're going to use it to finish off Hamas.
Well, they were going to finish off Hamas either way.
No, they pulled out. They've got them cornered, and they pulled out because America made them pull out. It's weird. The other weird thing, I was driving home, overpass, all pro-Palestine. Well, some of that big pro-Palestine crap was happening yesterday. Yeah. It made me mad.
So that's why I don't want to go too deep.
Let's just talk about, for whatever reason, I love these videos, by the way. I watch them in Europe. It's happening all the time. Like the Stop Oil people or the pro-Hamas people. What do you do?
Roblox.
Run them over.
This is the easiest thing I've ever heard of in my whole life. When people block roads, here's what you do. You send a bunch of cops in and you drag them off the road. It's not even hard.
Yeah, I don't understand why they're not doing
it. It's not like there's hundreds of people.
They shut down Chicago O'Hare Airport yesterday.
Yeah, and they shut down the Golden Gate Bridge yesterday.
Did you watch people go to the airport?
Just grab the people and drag them off the road. It's like the easiest thing in the world. And you see these cops standing there, and I'm like, you have a gun. You have a club. Hit him with the club. If they hit back, shoot him with the gun. Like, that's what you do when people are ruining society. And when you block a road, you don't know if someone's dying of a heart attack in that road. You don't know if someone's trying to have a baby, like, in that road. Like, you don't know if some old person is, like, dying to get their dialysis medic on time in that road. This is civilized society. You hit him with the club, and you shoot him with the gun if they hit back. Like, that's what you do.
I'm with you. Did you watch the one from Coachella last year? They broke the...
No. So I was going to complain about the algorithm. My complaint is I watched one of these videos and now I'm getting a nonstop feed in my algorithm. And I have to start disliking them because it makes me so furious. As you can tell, because I just advocated for shooting people on a podcast. Like, what are you doing? And I'm like, all I'm saying is law enforcement...
Yes.
Enforcement is the second part of that two-word sentence. Law enforcement. It's not law observation. It's not lawlessness enforcement. It's freaking law enforcement. All right.
The one from Coachella last year, they actually made the protesters stop. There's only one road out of Coachella, right? And it was either on the way in or way out. But it goes through an Indian reservation. So where the mistake they made was they actually set up on an Indian reservation and the reservation police came and rammed it.
Yeah.
And they had chained themselves to the thing. They ran right through the thing.
Yeah.
And then they came out, pulled the people off, the ladies screaming, "I'm not resisting. You're hurting me." And I'm like, why'd you chain yourself to a metal thing and put it in the middle of the road?
Yeah, no, this is 100% uncomplicated. There is no nuance to me in this. I don't care if you're out there advocating for my favorite thing in the world. You advocate on the side of the road.
Agreed.
They're like, I have freedom of speech. It's not freedom of speech to stand in the road. It's freedom of speech to stand next to the road.
Yeah.
Stand next to the road. I don't care.
You can't impede other people.
Like, I don't mind anyone's right to free speech, but like,
unless you pull a permit. Interfere. If you pull the permit and you're going to march through the streets, that's fine with
you. Yeah, if you get the city approves with you shutting down a road for 2 hours, okay.
Go for it.
That's fine.
I got no problem with that, but don't, if you jump in front of me, by the way, there's all kinds, I've been watching,
don't do it. This is catnip for me. I've already gone way over the...
You know, I love the audit videos where they harass cops and the cops get upset and they don't know what they're doing. And they're like, give me your ID. And like, I don't have to give you my ID. I love those videos. And that's in my algorithm. I watch them all the time. But I've also got the ones from the Just Stop Oil ones from England. And you get the mad people that get out there and they just beat the crap out of these people. And they're like, okay. So then there's the next level ones where they have commentators commentating on the legal ability you have to do something. They had a New Yorker one time. Someone jumped in front of his car, and he had to get to work, or his kid was sick, something like that. And he just kind of pushed through, and they eventually got out of the way.
It would be so hard for me to push through.
You can't.
I know, man.
It's assault with a deadly weapon.
I know.
The guy who gets arrested.
And that's why... Like, if the police can't do their job, they need to get fired. And if the judges want to uphold the police doing their job, they need to get impeached. And if they won't get impeached, then our city, like, the foundational premise of civilization is not the mayor. It is the sheriff. When you form a township on a frontier and you're worried about crime, you don't go hire a mayor. You go hire a sheriff. If the sheriff stops doing their job, society crumbles, period.
And it's Wyatt Earp.
And if you can't get people, like, here's the thing, here's why I'm so upset. Because people, like, it's not going to stay, we're not going to all stop traveling on roads, man. Either the cops will drag people off the road safely, or people will drag them off not safely.
That's what's happening in
Either
Europe.
The police will pull squatters out of someone's home safely, or people will pull them out not safely.
Right. That's happening.
People
all over
will
now.
Die.
Yeah.
Like, that's like, people will not let, I'm not going to let squatters take my house.
Right.
And I'm not going to let, like, nonsense people keep me from getting to the hospital.
Right.
Like, safely or not safely is the only question. Law enforcement has a job.
I have a deal down. I have a deal with two
so
major
let me,
corporations.
Let me be clear on this two-parter. Part one, police do their job. Part two, if anyone sues them for doing their job, In a reasonable way, then the judges have to throw out those lawsuits, throw them out. Say, nope, this is a bogus lawsuit. The Supreme Court gave judges the right to throw out nonsense lawsuits, and they should.
I don't disagree with you at all.
So, and if you can't do those things, then you're all fired.
I agree. It's frustrating. I am very frustrated with the idea. Very frustrated. And watching the roadblocks, I think, is the most infuriating thing. I'm like, I have no problems with protesters. I think protesting is interesting, and you have a right to do it. I think
I've actually banned myself from reading the squatter articles because I fantasize about, like, sneaking in at night and, like, duct taping everyone, taking their phones, putting it in a wire mesh bag.
Did you
driving out to Yuma, Arizona, and being like, "This is where you live now," and driving away.
Did you hear what?
Duct taping over
this
my
one
license
guy.
Plate.
The way he's got rid of his squatters is he hired squatters.
I started reading it, and then I'm like,
"Oh, it was hilarious!
It's justice porn for me, and it's addictive, and I can't do it."
Oh yeah,
it's
like, I'm totally into it. But this guy basically was a landlord. I think he just had one house.
Because I want to be known for the love that I have for people, and not for the fierce moral indignancy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And no, I'm not saying that. Someone has to do it. I'm just saying,
justice porn.
Because we live in a world where we lack justice so often that when that stuff feels like it's scratching an itch that no one else will scratch, like then it's like, okay, two-parter. One, society's in trouble. Two, maybe I need to reinvest my energy into loving my neighbor.
I've talked about this before, but I actually think it's a positive sign of progress, and that's these auditors that get in. You know, they're called First Amendment or Fourth Amendment auditors, right?
I don't know.
You watched any of them?
No, dude. That's,
I'm sending that's, you. It's gonna ruin
no,
your.
I'm not gonna do it. Don't do it because those guys were gonna protest outside of our church, and we were
the auditors.
Yes.
Yes. The auditors don't. That's not what they do.
Dude, those people were going to come to our church and protest our church, and we were given written instructions as to how we should not touch them or deal with them because they'll sue us. That happened.
Wait, but those are protesters that are doing something specific.
They were using the same tactics.
You know, the auditors basically, all they do is they go to, like, they'll go to the police station and they'll film the police cars.
Yeah.
And then the police get all like, "What are you doing?" And they're like, "I don't have to tell you that." And then they say,
I don't think that this, I disagree with this interest that you have. I think that is provocative in a way that doesn't foment peace and order. And right now we're lacking, we don't have an overabundance of police gone wild. We have an overabundance of people gone crazy.
It's made police departments better.
Well, if they're better, then why can't they clear the freaking road?
No,
maybe if they didn't have auditors, they would.
No, that's not how the auditors are doing it.
100%.
No, the auditors are like, by the way, if you're blocking a road, you're committing a crime. You can act as a police officer.
Okay, good. All right. Fair enough.
Like the point of the auditors is just being suspicious is not a crime. So I don't have to be treated like a criminal. You have to engage me in conversation and do your investigation. But I'm not obligated to salute you. And you're not the arbiter of law.
Right.
You're the enforcer of actual law. You're not the arbiter of what you think is law, which is suspicious behavior. Makes you want to identify and all this other stuff. I find it interesting. And by the way, it has made police departments smarter and better. It really has.
Maybe.
Hey, it worked for me here. I told you the story about this. The cops sit in the middle of the road.
Look, we live in a time where you could be right, William, but also the only way they got El Salvador to stop being crazy was to go ham on criminals. Without respect.
Oh no, it's coming back.
Do
you remember? Were you here
audits.
In California when the three strikes law was put in?
Yeah.
Okay, so the three strikes law, crime had gotten out of hand. Basically, if you did three felonies, you're out. You're in prison basically forever.
Yeah.
So that was the idea. Well, that happened. Crime went way down, and then people are like, "Wait, this three strikes law is kind of out of control because the third strike could have been something really." You know,
there's some things that are classified as felonies that are really stupid.
Yeah, that maybe they have these way over sentences that are too big
for
the crime.
Yeah, he's carrying $5 worth of pot, and now he's in jail for
and
life.
And so now he's in jail for life because it was his third strike.
Yeah.
So they've gone the other direction, right? We're back in California to where so this keeps going back and forth, back and forth.
Okay.
So we're at that point now where lawlessness, like homelessness, lawlessness, this idea of being able to protest with and riot and do things like that as part of free speech, that is not part of free speech.
Yeah.
Freedom of speech is be able to say what you want, not do what you want.
Right.
And you cannot destroy people's personal property. You cannot infringe the right of other people to move.
You don't
move.
Even have to be smart to
correct.
Know this.
So you're absolutely correct. Police departments are scared of doing things. Is that the fault of an auditor? No, it's the fault of society has gotten to a point where like we're supposed to be tolerant of everything, and now the idea is we're not actually have rules for anything. Yeah. We're so tolerant, there's nothing to be have rules for.
Yeah.
So positive right. things, I don't think that's gonna last very
but
long.
If you took one thing away from this, it'd be like get some really well made popcorn.
Oh,
and watch so Fandango. You'll be glad you did.
Well made popcorn.
Friends of the WayStation Podcast, your source for life hacks, of which this podcast was full of many.
Full, yeah.
Social commentary and amazing stories.
I'm William.
I'm Randy. Have a good day.